I said earlier, we've been traveling, my wife and myself traveled with her family for just about 30 years, the Rochester family. The pastor knows my wife's oldest brother. I think they sang for them when he was in Nebraska. And my mother-in-law and father-in-law retired in the end of 2021, I guess it is. And so that kind of kicked us out into our own. We were doing some stuff already on our own, and then just went full blast, full time, the beginning of 21. And we thank the Lord for that. And the Lord's good to us. And we travel all, this is all we do, except we carry most of our, this is all, the preacher, thank you for letting us use your guitar in your manner. We borrowed instruments because it's hard to trust airlines with your instruments and stuff. So we flew just Becky's little bass. She got it out of the dryer, and we brought it out here. And that's about the, I brought some wires and some microphones, but that was about the only thing we bought. Thank you, Mr. Soundman back there, for helping us. And you may want to turn this down, because I might get loud in just a little bit. And a couple of hours of message, I'm bound to get loud sometime or another. But we are glad to be here. And I tell you, we thank the Lord for giving us a place to go and getting to meet brand new people, people that if you're saved by the grace of God, we're going to get to live forever in heaven. And that ought to be the reason to rejoice every second of our lives, is the fact that we're saved by God's amazing grace. And I take your Bibles just a few minutes. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. And we'll preach just a little while and see what the Lord has in store. Preacher, is it all right if my family does the invitation? Is that okay? I'll call them up here at the end of the sermon. But if you want to stand, fine. And I'll read just a couple verses, pray, and then you can be seated. Mark chapter number 5, the end of chapter number 4, I'll just give you this, give you a chance to get your blood flowing back to your toes. The end of Mark chapter number 4, you know the story. Jesus tells the disciples to get in the ship. We're going to pass over to the other side. And while the disciples were right out there in the middle of the sea, the Bible says that a storm hit their vessel. And they're worried, asking the Lord, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And the Lord doesn't even address their question. He just steps out on the bow of the ship, speaks peace, and the Bible lets us know that the waves laid down, the wind stopped blowing, the lightning stopped flashing. That let those disciples know, and us reading it today, it lets us know that God is God over the deep. He's the God over everything. He is the God of everything that's going on in our lives. He's the God of the deep. We get to the first part of chapter number 5, and the Bible lets us know that He gets into the city, gets on land, and the Bible calls it the maniac of the Gadarenes. A maniac, a demon-possessed man, approaches the Lord. But the Bible says that this man falls down at the Lord's feet. The Lord casts the demons out of this man, asks the demons what their name is. They say, "Legion, for we are many," and they beg for their lives, "Don't destroy us." And the Lord casts them out of this man, and they enter into a herd of swine. And the Bible says the swine run down the hillside and they are drowned in the sea. They drown themselves because of these demons. This portion of Scripture lets us know that He's not only God over the deep, but He's God over demons. Amen. There is a spiritual warfare going on in the life in which you and I live. There are demons. There are evil spirits running around. They're doing everything they can to try to attack you. They can't possess you, but they can oppress you. They're doing everything they can, with a target on your back, to discourage you, to try to take your joy, to try to take your character, to try to take your testimony. And if the devil has your joy and your character and your testimony, you are ineffective in this world because you have no power. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. But I'm glad we serve the God who's God over the demons. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. He's the God over demons. We get down to verse number 22, our text, and the Bible says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And I'm interested in the first five words of verse number 24. The Bible says, "And Jesus went with him." And Jesus went with Him. Lord, I want to thank You for this day. I thank You for Your grace and Your love and Your mercy. I thank You for Your presence today. God, we felt Your presence. We know that You're here. We want You not just to take part, but we want You to take over. And God, I'd ask today for those that are lost, God, I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God would scooch up right next beside that lost person and show them their need of a Savior and draw them unto Yourself. And God, help them to take that step of faith that You'll give them. And God, be saved by the grace of God. And everything that's done in this place today, I pray that You get every bit of honor and glory. And God, I pray that You'd help me today. I need a touch. I need the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, whatever's done in this place, Lord, help us to worship today. In Christ's name I pray. You can be seated. Amen. Let me preface the message by saying it doesn't matter what you're facing. Jairus has a little girl who is sick unto death. The Bible says she's about to die. And I can imagine, preacher, that one of the hardest decisions Jairus ever makes is knowing that little girl is at home, knowing that he's probably rubbed sweat off her forehead, knowing that he's probably kissed her forehead, knowing that he's tried everything as a dad. He's tried everything financially. He's probably tried everything physically. He's probably tried everything medically. He's probably tried everything within his power to help his little girl. And nothing's helped. Seems like she's gotten worse and worse and worse until he knows that maybe her breathing is shallow. Maybe he knows that death is about to come her way. And probably the hardest decision he has to make is to say, honey, I've heard about a man. I've heard about one who's raised the dead. I've heard about one who's caused the blinded eyes to see. I've heard about one who's made the lame to walk. And I heard that he was coming pretty close. And probably the hardest decision he's ever made was, honey, you hold on. Hold on, I'm going to get some help. I've tried everything within my power. I've tried everything within my reason. I've tried everything financially. And Lord, I've not accomplished anything, but I need to go get one that can help. And let me let you know, when you get in your hour of storm, when you get in your situation like Jairus is in right now, let me know that the Lord will go with you wherever you are. He's not left us. We're not on the back 40. We're not climbing up the rough side of the mountain. God is with us. He said He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He gives us the promise He will never leave us. He'll never walk away from us. He'll never separate Himself from us. And He will never forsake us. That means He will never abandon us. God is always with us. And I want you, when it seemed like that God, as Job got in Job chapter number 23, when it seemed like where Job said, I looked on my right hand and You're not there, in my left hand, you're not there, in front of me, in back of me, where You do Your work, You're not there. Let me let you know that God is always watching. God always knows what you need. God always is the one that can provide the need, and God is always there. He will go with you whatever your situation is. But in Jairus' situation, number one, let me let you know that the Lord goes with Jairus in his desperation. Now, I've already told you how bleak the story is. I've got four daughters, preacher. I don't know what it's like to have a little girl sick unto death. Probably some of you have been there. Probably some of you has went the step further and you've had to plant that little girl, that little boy. You've lost that child. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like to look at my little girl laying on her bed or laying in the hospital bed and thinking this could be the end. We've had the broken arms. We've had the busted heads. We've did this and we've did that. And there's been times I felt like I wanted to kill them. But there's never been a time, preacher, that I felt like my little girl was about to die. So I can't say personally that I know what Jairus is feeling, because I don't. I know what it's like to have daughters. But I can't say, Brother Brian, that I know what it's like to be losing a daughter. But I can honestly believe that Jairus is as desperate a man as he could possibly be. I believe it's took everything within his power to walk away from that little girl to even go find the Lord. I believe it's took everything within him to beg and plead and ask the Lord to help. I believe it's took everything within him financially and trying to find this doctor and trying to find that doctor, trying to get this medicine and trying to get that medicine, and even trying maybe old wives' tales that the neighbors have told him, well, if you try this, this will help. I believe he's probably went to the ends of the earth to try to get his little girl well again, but nothing has helped. And I believe he says, I've got to try the only thing that I know will possibly work. I've got to go get the master. I've got to go get this man called Jesus. I've got to do whatever it takes to get him. And preacher, Jairus, they said he's a ruler of the synagogue, so he's probably a wealthy man. He's probably a man of prestige. He's probably a man of high regard in the area. And it takes a lot for him to go to this man called Jesus and fall down at his feet. It takes a lot for him. Every bit of pride, Brother Cain, that he has, it takes probably every bit of pride that he has wiped out of him to, Brother Craig, bow down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, so to speak, to bow down at his feet. It takes everything within him. And the Bible says that he doesn't even address the Lord. He just falls down at his feet and he says, Lord, my daughter's sick unto death. I need you to come. If you don't come, she's going to die. I found out that you were close by. I realized that you're my only hope. I've tried everything. I've tried this. I've tried that. I understand that you're my only hope, Lord. I need you to come, and I need you to come to my house now, and all I want you to do is to lay hands on my little girl, touch my little girl, and heal her. And it doesn't sound like, preacher, he had to offer money, but I believe he probably would have if it meant that this Christ, the Lord Jesus, would just do two things. Come to his house and touch his little girl. And let me let you know, that's our need today. That's our need today. We need the Lord to come into this house. We need the Lord to come into our homes. We need the Lord to come into where we live and touch us. We need the power of God. We need the help of God. We need the blessing of God. We need the hand of God. We need the very presence of God. And even in your desperate hour, it doesn't have to be a little girl that's sick unto death. It could be cancer and your name in the same sentence. It could be this. It could be heart trouble. It could be the loss of a spouse or the loss of a mother or the loss of a father. It could be whatever the case may be in your life, whatever your desperate situation is, let me know that this same God, if you fall down at his feet and you let him know your need, let him know that you are unworthy, let him know that you can do nothing within your own power and in your own strength, and I can promise you by the word of the Lord that you'll hear the same words. Jesus went with him. He will go with you. Amen. In your desperate hour, he will go with you in your desperation. But number two, not only he went with Jairus in his desperation, but he goes with Jairus in what Jairus thinks is a distraction. Now I can imagine. Now you have to bear with me. I like to, my ADD mind won't let me just look at it for what it says. I have to believe, kind of read between the lines, preacher, and I'm not going anything against the Bible. But I can honestly believe when the Lord tells Jairus, okay, let's go. I'll go with you. I can honestly believe that Jairus grabs the Lord by the hand and basically takes off running. Because he knows that little girl's about to die. He don't have know how much time's left. He has no, but he knows she's at the point of death. And I can honestly believe that he just grabs the Lord by the hand and he's just pulling the Lord along. And come on, Lord, it's just right around the corner. Come on, we got to go. Come on, come on, come on. And maybe about halfway there, preacher, maybe not even halfway there, the Lord's hand slips out of Jairus' hand. And Jairus is still running. Come on, come on, it's just right up here. It's right up here. And Jairus stops because there's nobody talking to him. And he stops and looks, and the Lord is way back there. And he's like, Lord, come on. Jesus, come on. We got to go. I'm just right around the corner. My little girl's in the house. Come on. You know, I told you, she is about sick unto death. Come on, she's about to die. Come on. And Jairus sees a woman kneeling in front of the Lord. So he kind of runs back over here to the Lord, and he's like, "Lord, come on. We got to go. Come on, Lord, come on." And the Lord asked a question. "Who touched me?" And the disciples are standing there answering the Lord. "Lord, what do you mean, who touched you? There's throngs of people here. What do you mean? Everybody's trying to touch you. What do you mean?" And the Lord said, "No, my virtue's gone from me. Who touched me?" And he sees this woman laying at his feet. And Jairus is saying, "Lord, I'll see her first. You just laugh because that's how you are. That's how we are. Lord, I called on you last month because I found a spot. They found a spot on my lung. Lord, I called you last month because my wife is bad sick and my father's about to die. Lord, and I was here first. Lord, I don't need you distracted. I'm where the rubber meets the road. Because that's how we are. We're human. Lord, I know this lady has a need. But if you take care of me first. Lord, I don't need you distracted with all the problems in this section. And all the problems in this section. All the problems in this section. Lord, I need you to attend to me. That's how we are. That's exactly how we are. But I'm going to go ahead and fill you in on a little secret. The Lord's not distracted by our problems. Just because there's a problem over here doesn't mean that distracts Him from helping somebody over here. He answers our prayers, and He answers them in His time. He knows when to deliver, preacher, what we need. When we need it. He's not distracted by time. He's not distracted by distance. He's not distracted by people. He's not distracted by the angels. He's not distracted by anything. We can pray all at the same time. And the God that can hear us one at a time is the same God that can hear all of us at the same time. He's the God of heaven. He's not distracted by anything. He's not distracted by any person. He's not distracted by any being. He's not distracted by any place. And I believe what the Lord is trying to show Jairus is, "Jairus, I know you have a need. I know there's a need greater. I knew there was a need before you ever even told me there was a need. But let me show you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take care of this woman's need. And when I take care of her need, she's going to stand up and in front of God and everybody, she is going to praise me. She's going to praise me in front of my disciples. She's going to praise me in front of all the throngs of people. She is going to give me the glory when I help her. And guess what, Jairus? When I get down to your house, I'm going to heal your daughter. I'm going to take care of her, and you're going to praise me. Your daughter's going to praise me. Your family's going to praise me. You're going to give me glory." That's why God does what He does. He's not distracted by anything. He's not distracted by any disease. He's not distracted by any needs. He does what He does so that He can get all the glory and get all the praise from everybody around Him. He's not slowed down. It's no accident, preacher, that this woman decides to touch just the hem of His garment. He's wanting to show this woman something. By the way, this instance lets us know that He's not only God over the deep and God over the demons, but He's God over disease. He lets us know that cancer's nothing to Him. He lets us know that COVID was nothing to Him. He lets us know that we can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth us. He lets us know by this distraction, as Jairus calls it, or what Jairus thinks, it's not a distraction for Him. He is using this situation to get every bit of glory unto Himself. Whatever's going on in your life, child of God, He hears. Whatever is going on in your life, He knows. Amen. And whatever goes on in your life, He's not distracted by everybody else's problems. He will answer, but it'll be in His time. He answers in His time. He went with Jairus in his desperation. He goes with Jairus in what Jairus thinks is a distraction. Number three, he went with Jairus right in the middle of Jairus' disbelief. You say, what do you mean? At the beginning, preacher, I believe that Jairus has 100% confidence that the Lord can and will heal his daughter. That's why he's there. That's the only reason he left her side. Because he believes 100% by faith that the Lord will heal his daughter. I believe his belief level and his faith level is all the way over on full as a gas hand. It's all the way over on full. But they're headed towards the house, preaching. The Bible lets us know right after he heals the woman, down about verse number 35, I believe it is, 36, somewhere or another, that there was another fella comes into the story. And this man, I don't know the scene. I can imagine it's probably at one end of the street, close around the corner where Jairus lives. Maybe Jairus and the Lord are a few blocks down the street. And this man doesn't have good news. He hollers out for not only Jairus to hear, but the Lord hears it. Everybody standing around hears what this man has to say. Thy daughter's dead. And I can see Jairus' faith. But the man kind of adds insult to injury. And he says, trouble the master no more. Don't worry about bringing him. There's nothing he can do. Death has already took the life of your daughter. Don't worry about bringing him. Don't bother him no more. Parenthetical. He wants us to bother him. Amen. He wants us to keep asking. He wants us to keep knocking. He wants us to keep seeking. He's not bothered by your storm. He's the God over the storm. He's not bothered by your disease. He's the God over the disease. He's not bothered by your trouble. He's the God over the trouble. He wants you to keep seeking, and He wants you to keep knocking. He wants you to keep asking. He's not even bothered by this man saying she's dead, because every time the Lord came in contact with the funeral, the dead got up and walked again. There can be no death around life. He's the God of life. And friend, I want you to know, right in the middle of Jairus' disbelief, there was a God in heaven who said, only believe. You can read it in the scripture. It's right there. He says, only believe. Verse number 36. Be not afraid, he tells Jairus, but only believe. I believe Jairus' faith level on the gas needle, the orange light has come on. For you ladies, that means you're just about out of gas. Just thought I'd help you fellas there. I thought I'd help you fellas. But he's just about out of faith, preacher. And I honestly believe that when Jairus heard these words, thy daughter's dead, he probably says, Lord, never mind. I thought you could help. I thought you were the answer. If you'd have just came on without the distraction. You knew how desperate I was. I told you how desperate my situation was. If you hadn't been distracted, we might have got there just a few minutes early and we wouldn't have had to hear those words. Probably Jairus is hearing the weeping and wailing from his wife at the house. He's probably hearing the cries of his family at the house. And I believe he's so broken and so disheartened and so out of faith that I believe maybe he just kind of sits down on the curb. Maybe he's sobbing. Maybe he's weeping, thinking, I thought this was the answer. Lord, all I needed you to do was come. All I needed you to do was touch my little girl, and I know she would have lived, but you waited. You were distracted. Lord, why didn't you come? And earlier, I told you Jairus was probably taking the Lord by the hand. But I believe in this situation, preacher, the Lord walked up to Jairus and said, Jairus, be not afraid. Only believe. I am who I say I am. And I believe at that moment in time, the Lord took Jairus by the hand and said, come on, Jairus. It's not over. You just got to have a little bit of faith. The Lord doesn't tell us we have to have truckloads of faith. He doesn't tell us we have to have bucket loads of faith. He said if you just have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, if you just have the tiniest bit of faith, God can work miracles in your life. God can do things in your life that you never dreamed He could do. God can do amazing things. He can do wonderful things. He can do awesome. But you got to believe just a little. Don't give up faith just because your circumstance is bleak. Don't give up faith because you've heard the words that maybe they're dead or maybe there's no hope or maybe there's no cure. Don't give up on God. God can do the impossible when it seemed like it is impossible. You rest assured, there's a God in heaven who can do the impossible. Only believe. If you're lost today, only believe. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He'll go with you. In your moments of disbelief, just believe. Just a little bit of faith. But number four, and I'm done. Abby, come on to the piano and play softly. He went with Jairus in his moment of desperation. He went with Jairus in his moment of disbelief. He went with Jairus when Jairus thought there were distractions. But number four, he goes with Jairus in his moment of death. I could use a point number five and say that he went with Jairus in his deliverance because this little girl gets up. We don't see that much in our day. We hear about it from time to time, how they were dead, and I'm not trying to pull something spooky on you or whatever. But God does have the power to bring people back to life. But had this little girl not come back to life, he'd still be God. Had this girl not got up and walked and asked for fried chicken, because I believe she's a Baptist, he'd still be God. Over the last 4 years, we've seen way too much death. We've seen way too much of it. People dying young, children dying, middle-aged people dying, old people dying. We've seen way too much of it in the last 4 years. But I'm glad as a child of God, when I have to watch, as in 2017, watch my mom take her last breath because of cancer, I knew that wasn't the end. We don't have hope as others have hope. We have the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of heaven. And our hope rests in Him that we will see them again. We don't sorrow as those who have no hope, but we have hope because we will see them. That's not the end. He will go with us even in death. There's a preacher friend of ours. Come on, baby, I want you to sing something. Get something lined up. There's a preacher friend of ours in West Virginia. Pastors the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in a little place called Elkview, West Virginia. Pastor Lee Swore is his name. And several years ago, we were at his church. And we're still traveling with my in-laws, preacher. And my mother and father-in-law always sang the song, At the Crossing. There's a river somewhere, it's called Jordan. And when we get to that river, representing death, and I don't want to debate over anybody about the song, and I don't want to debate it, whether you believe it or not. We sang it, and after my in-laws sung the song, Brother Swore gets up in the pulpit and he's sobbing. And he said, that song made me think of just a year or two ago when I'm sitting in my office studying for services and I get a call from the assisted living place where my mom is. And the nurse on the other end says, preacher, you need to come. Your mom's on her last few moments. You need to get here and get here quick. And he said, I jumped in my car and I'm speeding up the highway and I'm asking God, God, let me be there with my mom when she dies. Lord, let me hold her hand. Oh, he said, I asked the nurse before I got off the phone and sped to my car. I asked the nurse, ma'am, is anybody there? And this nurse with the sad words said, preacher, there's nobody here. She's all by herself. And he said, I'm driving up the road begging God, God, let me hold my mama's hand. Let me sing her a song. Let me encourage you that it's going to be all right. God, don't let her die alone. And he said, about halfway to the nursing home, my phone rings again and it's the same nurse. Hadn't been but just a couple of minutes. And she said, preacher, I'm sorry to tell you, your mom just passed away. And he said, through tears and sobbing, I asked the nurse, ma'am, was anybody there with my mom? Was anybody holding her hand? Was anybody singing her a good gospel song? Was anybody encouraging her that it was going to be all right? And he said, preacher, I'm sorry, we're so understaffed. There was nobody there. The only reason we knew is the machine went off. There was nobody there. And he said, I told the nurse, I'm on my way. I'll be there. And he said, I'm kicking myself all the way to the assisted living. You should have been there. You should have been there. You should have grabbed your mom by the hand. You should have sang her a good gospel song. You should have encouraged her, mom, it's going to be all right. You should have been there. And he said, I walked in that assisted living facility, kicking myself the whole way. Beat myself up. You should have been there. You should have been there. He said, I walked in the room where my mom's lifeless body was, and again, I'm kicking myself. Lord, why didn't you let me be here? Why didn't you let me hold her hand? Why didn't you let me sing a song to her, encourage her that it's going to be all right? Lord, why couldn't I make it? And said, about that time, a voice louder than audible and what felt like an arm reaching around me, he said, son, I want you to know, nobody was here physically, but she didn't die by herself. He said, I was the one that was there holding her hand, letting her know it's all right. He said, I was the one singing her a good gospel song, letting her know heaven's sounding sweeter every day. He said, I was the one letting her know everything's going to be all right. I'm in control of this situation. You can come on. We're going to go to a place that's fairer than day. I want you to know, child of God, when that loved one takes that last breath, when that mom or that dad or that husband or that wife or that child takes their last breath, I want you to know they're not there by themselves. There's a God in heaven who is there. There's a God in heaven who has come himself to take them across, to let them know that everything's going to be all right. And let me let you know, this same God that tells them it's going to be all right is the same God that's there to comfort us. He's the same God that helps us. He's the same God that gives us grace and he gives us mercy and he shows his love and he helps us in our time of grief. He has not left us alone. He goes with us even through death. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're going through, Jesus went with him. You can rest assured he'll go with you. The same promise he gave to Jairus, I'm going with you. is the same promise we have. He's going with us. That little girl gets up, and everybody around gives praise to the King of Kings and the Lord. Whatever's going on in your life, I can promise you, when He delivers you, when He's with you, you'll praise Him. Amen. Even when the news is not so good, you still will give Him glory, because He does all things well and He does all things right. Amen. He's God. We're standing all over the building. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Lord, I want to thank You for this day. God, I bless Your name for Your goodness. I thank You that You're with us in the valleys. I thank You that You're with us in the hard times. I thank You that You're with us all the days of our lives. And God, right now, for that person in the building who may be lost, I pray that You'd show them that need of a Savior. For the church, the people of the church, the Christians, I pray that You'd give them the help they need in this hour of desperation, in this hour of disbelief, in this hour seemingly of distractions, even in the hour of death. I pray that You'd give us peace and comfort. I pray that You'd help each person, those that may be going through the storms right now. I pray that You'd help us to cast all our cares on You, because You care for us. And God, whatever happens today, I pray that You'd get every bit of honor and glory and praise, because You are worthy. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us. In Christ's name, amen.